We read from the Holy Scriptures this morning a portion of the 8th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. We'll begin to read at verse 18, read through the end of the chapter. We read this passage in connection with the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism. Once again, Lord's Day 1. Thy only comfort in life and in death. We hear the word of God in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I would call your attention especially to the remaining verses of the chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far we read from God's infallibly inspired word. In harmony with this passage and all of Holy Scripture, we have the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 1, found on page 3 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 1. What is thy only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, what is it that sustains us as God's children? From day to day, as those who must live and walk through this veil of tears, what is it that upholds us even through the hardships, the struggles, the tribulations of this present time? What is it that comforts us, even at times when our hearts would cry out in distress? Essentially, it is the knowledge and conviction of heart that we are secure in the hand of our Heavenly Father. Very beautifully, our Heidelberg Catechism speaks of that comfort in terms of belonging unto our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our only comfort in life and in death. The words of Scripture we read this morning speak of that comfort from the viewpoint of the love of God in Christ Jesus. In this beautiful 8th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, the Apostle virtually sings of the wonderful salvation, of the certainty of that salvation for the people of God. In the context, the apostle has asked and answered several questions, and in the last part of this chapter, we have the final question and its answer: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'm persuaded that no one, nothing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If this is true, true for you, beloved, then no one, nothing, can be against us. If this is true, we are indeed more than conquerors through him that loved us. What comfort in belonging to Christ. Our Heidelberg Catechism explains that comfort from the viewpoint of our consciousness, our awareness, our enjoyment of it in the midst of this life, this world. The language is very specific, very personal, speaks directly to us as a child of God. What is thy only comfort? How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou in this comfort mayest live and die happily. Whence knowest thou thy misery? What believest thou? And so we maintain that our catechism presents the God-centered truth from the viewpoint of its being appropriated by faith, experienced in our consciousness as His children. It sets forth our experience of the wonder work of the God of our salvation. The Catechism treats the truth as that spiritual knowledge that is eternal life. As Jesus put it in John 17, verse 3, this first Lord's Day sets forth the theme of the whole Catechism. What is thy only comfort in life and death? As you know, the entire Catechism is concerned with that comfort. It considers the truth of the Word of God from the point of view of its being the comfort, the sole comfort of the child of God in both life and death. Its aim is to bring us to the conscious knowledge of the truth, of the only comfort in life and death. It's in this light that we consider, once again, Lord's Day 1 under the theme, Comfort for Today and Beyond. We notice, first of all, that it is an exclusive comfort. Secondly, that it is an abiding comfort. And finally, that it is a personal comfort. We ought not deceive ourselves. Many would attempt to delude themselves, but reality is we live in a world of misery. There are many who try to find ways to overcome, overlook that misery. Many who try to, in their own minds, minimize their misery, would attempt to be optimistic. They seek guidance and direction from many different sources that they might look on the bright side of things, try to convince themselves that they are able to escape misery by losing themselves in the material wealth, the pleasures of this world. But we can't escape the fact that we live in a world of misery. And the misery we experience is sometimes the same as that of the world of unbelief. All about us we see war and strife, violence, immorality, lawlessness, unrest and distrust characterize the political affairs between nations and even within our own country, the political system. We can see that misery among the youth of the world. It seems to be an unending search for themselves, for peace of mind and heart. They often attempt to blot out the miseries of life by means of focusing upon a certain cause or issue, climate change or what have you, in their pursuit of peace, happiness. They often find themselves feeling empty, lost, when the pleasures of sin provide no real comfort. a world of misery, pain, suffering, affliction, weakness, frailty, a world of misery in the midst of all the relationships of this life. Enter the home of the ungodly. Angry shouts, arguing, or perhaps frozen silence, cries of children who are neglected or abused, faces that express stress and worry and fear for countless reasons. Besides, we as God's children experience a misery which is deeper than that which the rest of the people of this world know, that which deepens and increases the misery that we experience is the fact that we know the cause for all the misery that's in this world, sin. And we know that man is by nature a slave of sin. We know that of ourselves we have a mountain of guilt testifying against us, burdening us. A mountain of guilt which daily grows larger. We know that rebellious man is completely under the dominion of sin, that he stands as an enemy of the Most High God. We know that the Almighty God is just and good, and the wages of sin is death. We know that God will not acquit a guilty sinner, but will execute a righteous judgment. And that just judgment of God is executed in time, so that this life is nothing but a continual death. But this just judgment is also executed in eternity. Hell, the lake of fire. And we know that the cause for all the misery which fills this world is man's sin. Seeing and knowing all this, we can only cry out, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or with the Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am, literally miserable man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In contrast, to be comforted means to be strengthened, according to the meaning of the word. To be comforted means to have someone at my side who upholds me, supports me, who takes up my cause, who pleads my cause as my advocate, someone who delivers me from my misery. Comfort is the conscious contemplation of a good. Comfort's not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It's knowledge. And that knowledge is an assurance of heart and mind. One knows what is the only possible good. One knows who it is that is there upholding, pleading his cause, delivering from misery, and experiencing that good. We're comforted. even more, comfort is to contemplate a good so great and so precious that the misery and the evils suffered cannot be compared to it. It's not simply a certain good over against the evil. It is to think about a good, the attainment of which is absolutely even served by the evils that we now may bear. It is to know that the evil is subservient to and necessary for the attainment of that great and precious good. That knowledge of verse 28 of Romans 8, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Comfort implies that there's a good which becomes apparent in all things, so that evil, misery, serves the purpose of the good, even exists to that end. Then we can enjoy comfort. True comfort. The only comfort. It is indeed an exclusive comfort. It sounds strange because we commonly can speak of having all the comforts of life. We always tend to relate our comfort to the earthly and the material, but there's really only one comfort. And it is all-embracing and fully sufficient in all cases and circumstances. With this only comfort, the soul troubled with cares, anxieties, and fears is given peace and contentment. What is this exclusive comfort? Our only comfort is that we, with body and soul, both in life and in death, are not our own, but belong unto our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. From a certain point of view, it's hard to say, I am not my own. That so goes against our sinful nature. By nature, that's what we desire. We want to be on our own boss, the master of our own destiny, independent. We deal with that nature from our earliest days. We could see it in our children. They don't have to learn to be naughty or rebellious. So inclined we are to do our own thing, to go our own foolish way. But the grace of God, the grace of God changes that. The proud, foolish heart is broken. The lofty spirit is crushed. And the first evidence of God's grace is that we know ourselves helpless and lost. We see that our comfort is not that we are independent or self-reliant. We realize by grace that our independence is really nothing but slavery, bondage to the evil one. We see that as long as we are our own, we are accountable before God for that enormous mountain of sin and guilt. We soon learn how dependent we are upon our sovereign God. We are not our own, but belong unto our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our comfort. Our union to Christ provides peace, assurance, deliverance from misery. It's the only comfort, the only true comfort we could ever have. When God speaks to the prophet, "Comfort ye my people," that shows that God has his people, a peculiar people, his church in the midst of this world. They belong to him. He chose them to be his own before time began. He has looked upon them from everlasting in Christ, given them from all eternity unto his Son, Jesus Christ. We belong to him. That's the only possible comfort. Nothing else can comfort, no matter what men may think or say. Nothing else satisfies, nothing but knowing we belong to Jesus. Everything else fails miserably. This comfort is indeed exclusive. There aren't other comforts that you can add to this one. It's not merely the chief comfort, the greatest comfort among others. In fact, to have anything else, in effect, denies this only comfort. This one covers every conceivable circumstance of life and of death, according to the Catechism. In death, without this only comfort, we fear, we doubt, we tremble. Our Lord and Savior is the only answer to the terrors of death. Only in him does death have no more sting and the grave have no more victory. Our only comfort in death is that we belong to him, and in life too. Apart from our faithful Savior, there's no comfort in this life. We need the assurance that we belong to Christ. When we experience sickness and affliction, sorrow, trials and troubles, when we reckon with the daily reality of our sin, when we realize that we face the temptations of the devil, our only hope in life is that we belong unto our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And this, beloved, is an abiding comfort. People would like to consider death simply an ordinary thing, the course of nature. Everybody has his time, sooner or later. Everybody passes away. It's just a fact of life. But deep down, man fears death. And the most courageous tremble at the thoughts of death. Through personal experience, nobody knows what is beyond death. And ultimately, even the wicked can't escape the fact that death is the sentence of God upon sin. He may call it a natural phenomenon, but he's unable to escape the terrors of death. And of course, we know what it's all about. We know that God is righteous and just, that he is angry with the wicked every day. We know that God cannot overlook sin, can't overlook our sin. He cannot merely excuse us. We know that we are in ourselves damnable in his sight, worthy of eternal desolation. We know that we are hopelessly in the clutches of death and corruption, And we know that God judges. His sentence is always, "Cursed is everyone that abideth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." We know that death is the hand of God. Without this only comfort, we fear, we doubt. The devil tempts, reminds us of what sinners we are. You can't possibly go to glory. Such a damn worthy sinner, experiencing the wrath of God, places doubts in our minds. What makes you think there's really a heaven? Are you sure about your salvation? Oh, beloved, how we need this only comfort as we face death. Our Lord and Savior is the only answer to the terrors of death, for He has removed them. Through Him, death has no more sting. He has borne the curse of death in our stead. His cross is the answer to every lie and temptation of the evil one, to every doubt that may creep into our minds. My only comfort in death is that I belong to Christ. Nothing else helps. My only comfort is that I am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. But also in life, right now, and from day to day, we may acknowledge that we need this comfort facing death, but do we need it going on from day to day? Is it really necessary? Perhaps your life is rolling along quite smoothly. A little bump in the road here or there, but for the most part, smooth sailing. And life isn't that bad. We have it pretty good. Generally speaking, an abundance of the things of this world, plenty to eat, a nice house. Do we need this comfort from day to day? Do we really think about it? Or is it something we put on a top shelf to have it handy and as kind of an emergency measure for disaster relief? We sometimes overlook, forget the nature of this life. It is, after all, nothing but a continual death apart from Christ, apart from His favor and blessing. It's mere existence and it's misery. Even as God's people, we can't place our hopes upon this life. We can find no comfort in this life. This isn't our home. We're pilgrims and strangers here. This life is but the means to an end. As we walk this pathway, we must have from day to day, we must enjoy this only comfort. We need it every day anew. The assurance we belong to Christ. That's true with respect, of course, to the big things that happen, especially the calamities of daily life. the hardships, the struggles, the affliction, the sorrows of this present time, but that's true even with regard to what we would deem trivial matters. A hair falling from our head, as the Catechism mentions. Jesus says they are all numbered. We know that nothing happens by accident or chance, but all according to the purpose of our God. We belong to Him who has been placed in majesty at the right hand of the Most High God, given to direct all things. He fulfills His word. He causes all things to work together for our good. But especially from day to day, there is the ongoing reality of our sin. And every day again, we seek the Lord's forgiveness for Christ's sake. We need that assurance that we are not our own, but that we belong to Him. In the midst of all the trials and temptations of our life from day to day, we need this comfort, this only comfort. We belong to Christ. We need this comfort personally. It's a personal comfort. Our catechism is so rich, so warm. It's obvious that need for comfort is universal, but the solution is given as a very personal confession. That Jesus is the answer for me. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me. In the fullness of time, Jesus came, paid the price for the sin of His own, removed the curse of God, frees us from the bondage and power of sin, liberates us from the power of Satan, brings us into God's favor and fellowship. He is our only comfort. The Christian faith alone can bring this comfort to man. But it's personal. I belong to Him. That means I am His property. When He came and shed His precious blood, it was to purchase me. He owns me and takes full responsibility for me before God. He will keep me, lead me into His everlasting kingdom. It means I am united to Him by faith. His atoning death was for my sins. He removed God's wrath from me. Hell no longer looms up in front of me. I need not fear that day of judgment. I trust His death as a sufficient, satisfactory payment for my sin. God looks upon me with the love that He has for His Son. It means that He rules me by His grace and Spirit. Sin shall not have any dominion over me, because I am his. Sin is no longer my master. Satan is defeated. Though sin is still present, it no longer rules. It means that Christ preserves me, as all things are controlled by him. Even as he is exalted in the right hand of the majesty on high, and all the events of my life are used by him for my spiritual and eternal profit, none of the problems, none of the pains of this present life can crush me or sever the blessed union that Christ has established. Nothing, no one can separate me from the love of Christ. It means I can cast all my cares upon him, knowing he cares for me. I have only to look upon what he has done for me. I can be confident that he will continue to use his sovereign power in heaven and earth for me. Isn't it so? It's personal. What comfort. Our misery is great, but the work which Christ has done and continues to do is still greater. And so, in order to live and die happily in the comfort of belonging to Christ, the Catechism directs us in the knowledge of three things. First, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and misery. And the third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Understand, this second question here in Lord's Day 1 doesn't ask, how do you get this comfort? No, it's how do you enjoy this comfort? Getting something is not always so hard, but truly enjoying it, using, experiencing it appropriately, can be. This knowledge is the knowledge given us, taught us by his Spirit, the Comforter. And the three aspects are not three stops on the road to happiness, comfort. It's not that we first master the one and then move on to the second and finally to the third. No. As the knowledge of sin and misery increases, so does our faith in Christ, the Savior. So does the gratitude which manifests itself in our daily life and walk. But none of these is ever perfected in this life. We will never know the depths of our sin and misery, never able to adequately express the glories of Christ and the salvation which he hath wrought. We will always have only a small beginning in this life of the new obedience. There's always the need for growth. There can be but a superficial knowledge of these. But of course, that would produce only a superficial faith. As those who belong to him, there's a deep and ever deepening knowledge of our sin. There's a warm and ever closer knowledge of our Savior to whom we belong. And there's a profound and increasing sense of gratitude. The result is an ever-increasing awareness of belonging to Christ that overcomes, defeats all the evils that may threaten. We live and we die in comfort and peace. It's a personal comfort. How can we be sure? Can we be certain? In Romans 8, the apostle is, "For I am persuaded there remains no shadow of doubt in his mind." Are you persuaded? How is this blessed assurance possible? There's only one answer. Most emphatically, because it is God. It is the love of God in Christ upon which everything depends. It doesn't depend on me or you. It doesn't depend upon our love for God. No, we love Him only because He first loved us. Our certainty rests upon His love, which is eternal, which is sovereign, which is unchangeable. Nothing can quench that love. In that sovereign love for His people, chosen in Christ, He made all things. In that love, by His providence, He governs and directs all things, even the powers of darkness, even tribulation and distress and nakedness and hunger and peril and sword and death itself. And that love never fails. For that love of God was manifest in Christ Jesus our Lord. God sent His Son who loves us in a very definite act of love, loved us on that accursed tree of the cross, where He took our sin and guilt upon Himself and bore them away forever. On that cross, Jesus fought the battle alone on our behalf and was victorious. He arose the victor of the dark domain. Upon that love, that basis of love, we can say with the apostle, "I am persuaded." Persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh yes, beloved, enjoying this comfort, we may and we do live and die happily. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word is a word of comfort. Again, we beseech Thee, apply that Word unto our hearts and lives by the Comforter. We pray, Father, that we may, enjoying this comfort, live and die happily. We ask it now, too, with the remission of our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.